Now, let's be honest. Everyone has his or her own favorite flavor of suffering. So here's my question for you. What's your favorite flavor of suffering? Which energy-sapping emotion do you tend to indulge in most? Is it sadness, frustration, anger, despair, self-pity, jealousy, worry? The specific details don't really matter because they're all states of suffering. And all this suffering is really just a result of an undirected mind that's hell-bent on looking for problems. Think for a moment about a recent situation that caused you pain or suffering of some type. You know, a time when you felt frustrated or angry or worried or overwhelmed or stressed. Whenever you feel emotions like these, your sense of suffering is caused by your undirected mind engaging in one or more of these particular patterns of perception. Consciously or unconsciously, you're focused on at least one of these three triggers for suffering. The first is loss. When you focus on loss, you become convinced that a particular problem has caused or will cause you to lose something you value. For example, you might have a conflict with your spouse and it leaves you feeling that you've lost love or respect or joy together. But it doesn't have to be something someone else did or failed to do that caused you to perceive that sense of loss. The sense of loss can be triggered by something you did or something you failed to do. For example, if you procrastinated and now you've lost a business opportunity, you're certainly going to probably feel a sense of suffering. Whenever we believe in the illusion of loss, we suffer. The second trigger is the word or thought of less. When you focus on the idea that you have less, or because something happened, you will have less of something you value, then you're going to suffer. For example, you might become convinced that because a situation has occurred or a person acted a certain way, that you'll have less joy, less money, less success, or some other painful consequence. Once again, less can be triggered by what you do or don't do or what others do or fail to do. And finally, the third trigger that makes people feel suffering inside is the concept of never. See, when you focus on the idea or become consumed by a belief that you'll never have something you value, you'll never have that same love, that joy, that respect, that wealth, that opportunity, then you're doomed to suffer. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to become the person you want to be. This pattern of perception is a surefire route to pain. Remember, the mind is always trying to trick us into a survival mindset. It's not a bad thing. It's trying to make sure we survive. But there's no saber-toothed tiger to run from today. So now we get into suffering thinking we've lost respect or we don't have enough money or things that, quite frankly, are not truly survival at this stage of our lives. We can figure it out. So the secret is never say never. Don't allow yourself to be triggered by an illness or an injury or something your brother said or did and allow yourself to believe you'll never get over it. That's just the mind in fear. Now look, these three patterns of focus account for most, if not all, of our suffering. And you know what's crazy? It doesn't even matter if the problem is real or not. Whatever we focus on, we feel regardless of what actually happened. Have you ever had the experience of thinking that a friend did something horrible or took advantage of you? You might have gotten really angry and upset, only to discover that you were dead wrong and the person didn't deserve all that blame? In the midst of your suffering, when all those negative emotions are swirling in your head, it really didn't matter. Your focus created your feelings, and your feelings create your experience. Notice, too, that most, if not all, of our suffering is caused by focusing or, more likely, obsessing about ourselves and what we might lose, have less of, or never have. Even parents will often say to me, "Well, I'm just so worried, I'm so stressed, I'm so angry with my kids." And what I discover as I dig underneath is that they're really angry or stressed with themselves because they feel they failed their kids. They're really focused on their own failure. That's where the emotion's coming from. Otherwise, they would just focus on helping their kids. But here's the good news. Once you're aware of these three patterns of focus, you can systemically change them, thereby freeing yourself from the habits of suffering. It all starts with a realization that this involves a conscious choice. Either you master your mind or it masters you. I always tell people the secret to living an extraordinary life is take control of the mind, since it alone will determine whether you live in a suffering state or a beautiful state, regardless of your financial freedom or lack thereof. In the end, it's all about the power of decisions. Our lives are shaped not by our conditions, but by our decisions. If you look back on the last 5 or 10 years, I'd be willing to bet that you can recall a decision or two that's truly changed your life. Maybe it was a decision about where to go to school, or what profession to pursue, or who to choose to love or even marry. And looking back on it now, can you see how radically different your life would be today if you made a different decision back then? These and so many other decisions determine the direction of your life, and they can change your destiny. So the big question is, what's the biggest decision you could make if you want to change your life for the better, if you wanted to change your life right now? In the past, I would have told you that the most important decision is who you're going to spend time with, who you decide to love. After all, the company you keep will powerfully shape who you become. But I have to say, over the last 2 years, my thinking has evolved. What I've come to realize is, as important as that decision is, perhaps the most important decision that you're ever going to make in your life is, are you committed to being happy no matter what happens to you? Because if you're not, I can promise you the mind will take over and find things to be upset about no matter how much money or wealth you've accumulated. To put this another way, will you commit to enjoying life not only when everything goes your way, but also when everything goes against you, when injustice happens, because it happens to all of us, when someone screws you over, when you lose something or someone you love, or when nobody seems to understand or appreciate you? Unless we make this definitive decision to stop suffering now and live in a beautiful state, our survival mind will create suffering whenever it desires, whenever our expectations or our preferences aren't met. What a waste of so much of our lives. This is a decision that can change everything in your life. Please hear me, and it can change it starting today, not 10, 20 years from now. But it's not enough just to say that you'd like to make the change or you'd prefer to be happy no matter what. You have to own this decision. You got to do whatever it takes to make it happen and cut off any possibility of turning back. I always tell people, if you want to take the island, you got to burn the boats. If you decide to take 100% responsibility for the state of your mind, the state of your emotion, and your experiences of life, you will be free. What it really comes down to is drawing a line in the sand today and declaring, I am done with suffering. I'm going to live every day to the fullest and find the juice in every moment, including the ones I don't like, because life is too short to suffer. Beware of Godzilla. There are many different techniques you can use to take control of your mind and achieve a beautiful state. This is such an important subject that I plan to write an entire book about it. But you don't need to wait to begin this life-changing journey. You can decide right now that you'll no longer settle for a life that's less than the one you deserve to feel, experience, and get from. All you have to do to change your life forever is commit your heart and soul to find something to appreciate in every moment. And there's always something if we retrain our minds. That's when you'll experience the real wealth of ongoing happiness. So let me ask you, are you up for making this bold and brilliant decision right now? If so, let's support you by reviewing two simple techniques that I found to be enormously helpful in staying on course. The first tool I created for myself is really simple. I call it my 90-second rule. Whenever I start to suffer, and the way I know it is I feel some stress in my body, I feel tension in my stomach or my chest or a holding of my breath, tension is the trigger. That's how you know you're beginning. What I do is I give myself 90 seconds to stop it so I can return to living in a beautiful state. Sound good, right? But how do you actually do it? Well, let's say I'm having an intense conversation with an employee at one of my companies and I discover that he or she has made a mistake that could cause an array of problems. Naturally, my brain leaps into the danger detection mode, launches this ancient survival software, and starts bombarding me with thoughts about all the ways I and our whole team might suffer as a result of their poor decisions or actions. In the past, I could have easily been swept up in a whirlwind of worry, frustration, or anger, a maelstrom of mental suffering. But here's what I do now. As soon as I feel that tension rising in my body, I catch myself. And the way I catch myself is really simple. I gently breathe and slow things down. I step out of the situation and start to distance myself from those stressful thoughts my brain's generating. It's natural for these thoughts to arise, by the way. They're just thoughts. When you slow down, you realize you don't have to believe these thoughts or identify with them. You can step back and say to yourself, wow, look at these crazy thoughts going by. There goes that crazy mind again. Now, why is this helpful? Because the problem isn't the existence of our negative, destructive, or limiting thoughts. Everyone has them. What hurts us is the habit of believing those thoughts. So, for example, have you ever found yourself getting so mad at someone you thought to yourself, I'm going to throttle this guy. I could kill him. I'm guessing, though, you didn't kill them. Why? Because you didn't believe your thoughts. You were just blowing off steam. At least I hope you didn't kill them. So once I detach myself from those unwanted thoughts, I start to focus my mind on finding something to appreciate. See, you can't suffer and appreciate simultaneously. The survival brain is always searching for what's wrong, but there's always something to appreciate as well. As I always say, what's wrong is always available, but so is what's right. Maybe it's the simple fact that I'm alive and well, that I'm still breathing. Maybe it's the fact the person who made the mistake is a beautiful human being, and I can appreciate how hard they work, and I can appreciate their highest intentions. Maybe it's the fact that I have the awareness to see that I'm suffering, and I have this ability to stop it immediately, and I can be appreciative of that. It doesn't matter what you appreciate. What matters is by shifting your focus to appreciation, you slow down that survival mechanism, and you bring back your heart, your soul, and your spirit. The emotions of love, joy, and giving will all trigger the same positive transformation inside of you. This shift in your focus creates a space for your spirit to enter the game so you don't get stuck inside your head. I always tell people, get in your head, you're dead. If you keep doing this with real consistency, you actually rewire every situation so your experience of life becomes one of thankfulness and joy. And you want to know what's miraculous? Before you know it, you'll feel free. The thing people think money will give them only happens when we stop the suffering, when we stop believing those stressful thoughts. When you let go and start to laugh at things that used to drive you nuts, this all makes for such a happier life and healthier relationships while also helping you think more clearly and make smarter decisions as well. After all, when you're stressed and angry or sad or fearful, you're not likely to find the best solutions. But when you're in a beautiful state, the answers come more easily. It's like turning a radio the right frequency so the static disappears, you get to hear the music loud and clear. Now, when I first started to use this technique, I should have called it the 4-hour rule or maybe the 4-day rule, because sometimes it took me a long time to stop suffering. You know, I got so much momentum into suffering that it was hard to change. But like any skill, the more you use it, the more you do it, the better you get. I found that it really helps when I catch myself quickly, instead of letting those negative thoughts linger longer than 90 seconds. Why? Well, think about it. The best time to kill any monster is when it's little. You don't want to wait till it's Godzilla and devouring your entire city, your entire life. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm certainly not perfect at this, and there's certainly times when I get hooked still. But I use this 90-second rule so often that it's gone from being a discipline to becoming just a habit. And it's a beautiful one because it produces freedom and joy and happiness and love and gratitude. This one technique has given me so much freedom, freedom from those destructive emotions that used to rob me of my joy and my peace of mind. Listen, the emotions still come. That's how the mind works. But they disappear quickly because they're not welcome. And they're overwhelmed by the power of appreciation and enjoyment that I built into me. And as a result, I can tell you honestly, as great as my life ever was, it's more beautiful than it's ever been, and that's what I want for you. What you'll also find when you practice this 90-second rule and break your pattern and go straight for enjoyment is that you're going to be much more present for the other people when you're not caught up in the thoughts of loss, less, and never. When you're in a beautiful state, you can give so much more to everyone you love. And you know what? There's power in happiness. There is a happiness advantage in life. Happiness is an advantage in your relationships. It brings you closer. In business, people want to do business with you. In your health, because it makes you physically better. Your immune system stronger when you're happier. And everything you touch really becomes different when you live in a beautiful state no matter what. That's the ultimate freedom. That's the ultimate gift you can give to those you love. It's the experience of absolute abundance, an abundance of joy. That's the true wealth we all want. Even better, you can possess this abundance again right now instead of having to wait until you acquire a certain amount of money. And the good news is, this decision rests entirely in your hands. You alone give yourself the happiness edge. Unchain your heart, the power of alignment. To overcome fear, the best thing is to be overwhelmingly grateful. Sir John Templeton, billionaire investor. The second tool that I'd like to share with you is a simple 2-minute gratitude meditation that I've taught to tens of thousands of people in my seminars over the last year or so. I've also recorded this meditation and made it available online at unshakable.com. And it's also on the Unshakable mobile app, so you can listen to the audio anytime there too. But first, let me give you a quick word of explanation about the science behind this meditation. If you went to a hospital and we hooked you up to an EEG and an EKG, what we'd be measuring is the electrical impulses in your brain and in your heart. I'm sure you've seen these either at a hospital or maybe on television. What you'd see when you're stressed out and suffering mentally is that the lines on the EEG and the lines in the EKG both look very jagged, but the jaggedness from your heart rhythms would look nothing like the jaggedness for your brain rhythms. In other words, they're out of sync. But scientific studies have shown that this short meditative focus can dramatically alter those electrical impulses in your brain and heart. And what's miraculous is the jagged lines on the EEG and EKG tend to become rounded after this meditation. What's even more powerful is the lines from the heart and the brain become almost identical. Why? Because the mind and heart are now operating as one. That's what happens naturally when you're in a state of flow. The simple goal of this meditation, the one we're about to do, is to change your emotional state by filling you with a sense of gratitude and to use that emotion to solve whatever challenges have been causing you to suffer. Why gratitude? Because you can't be grateful and angry simultaneously. You can't be grateful and fearful at the same time. If you want a miserable life, there's no better way to achieve it than focus on anger and fear. But if you want a happy life, if you want to live a beautiful state, there's nothing that works better than a focus on gratitude. So if you're ready to test drive the technique, here's what I'd like you to do. I'm going to just walk you through it right now. And unlike the book, since you're listening to me in audio, let's just do it. So the first step is stand up if you would and shake out your body. Now, if you're in a car, that might be difficult. So just get yourself so that you got some energy there. Just shift your body. Standing up, you know, a couple jumping jacks, make a strong move. Just get yourself in a strong state for a couple moments. And then as you're standing, what I want you to do is pick an aspect of your life where you have some unfinished business. Something you need to change or resolve in your professional life or personal life. It might be an issue that you've been putting off dealing with because you got so much going on in your life to deal with this would be so frustrating or upsetting or stressful. Maybe it's a problem at work or a conflict or a difficulty with a family member. Will you think of one right now? Let's just do this right now. And then on a scale from 0 to 10, once you think of the problem, you know, 10 being the most upsetting, 0 being not upsetting at all, where would you rank this challenge? Is it a 5, is it a 6, a 7, 8, 9, or a 10? Ideally, pick an issue that when you think about it, and maybe right now it's not bothering you, but if you think about it, it's at least a 6 or a 7. Because if you pick something at least that high or more, then you'll be able to feel the true impact of this simple little technique. Okay? So as soon as you got that, breathe deep. You know what unfinished business, the problem you need to solve, you've been putting off. Let's go to step 2. And in step 2, what I want to do now is I want you to set aside that situation for a moment. Just forget about it. And I'd like, if you would, to place both your hands on your heart right now. Breathe deep in your heart and feel your heart beating. I'd like, if you would, to please close your eyes and just breathe deeply in your heart. And as you breathe in your heart, feel both your hands on the heart and feel, as you breathe deeply, the blood and the oxygen flowing into your heart. Feel the power of your heart. Feel the strength of your heart. What are you grateful your heart has guided you to do or to enjoy or you appreciate or to give? And now as you continue to touch your heart and breathe deeply in your heart, we're going to go to step 3. With your eyes still closed, I want you to just feel grateful for your heart. Feel what a gift your heart is. Breathe deep into it. Both your hands on it, filling up with gratitude. Remember, every day it beats 100,000 times a day. It pumps blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels. It's enough to go around the earth twice at the equator if you put them side by side. That's what's inside you. And you know what? You don't even have to think about your heart. And yet it's always there for you, even while you sleep. Keep breathing in your heart and feeling grateful. It's the ultimate gift. And yet you didn't have to earn it, did you? It was given to you. You didn't have to prove your worth. Something loved you so much that it gave you this heart. And as long as it beats in your chest, you live. What a gift. Feel the power of that heart. And as you're feeling the power of your heart, we'll do step 4. Breathe in your heart. Feel that deep gratitude for your heart. feeling that physical heartbeat. And as you're doing this now, we're going to take 2 minutes, and that's all it'll take. During these 2 minutes, I want you to think of three different experiences in your life that if you wanted to, you could feel incredibly grateful for right now. They could be little experiences or big experiences. It really doesn't matter. Just something you could step into the memory of that as if you were there. And we're going to do them one at a time. They could be big experiences or small. It doesn't matter. They could take back to your childhood, or they could be from this week or even today. And then as you begin now to think of the first experience, I'd like to ask you to breathe deep. And as we go into step five, step into that memory. Step into it right now as if you were there back in that moment, seeing what you saw, reliving it as if you're there, and fill up with a sense of gratitude for that moment. Feel it. Breathe it. Own it. Feel so grateful for this moment. Fill yourself up with gratitude, because when you're grateful, there's no sadness. When you're grateful, there's no hurt. There's no anger. Remember, you can't be grateful and angry simultaneously. You can't be grateful and worried simultaneously. So if we cultivate gratitude, we have a different life. Are you experiencing it? Breathe. See that memory and fill up with gratitude for that special moment in your life, that magic moment, that sacred moment, that beautiful moment. Now think of a second experience, another moment from your life that you could feel deeply grateful for. A miracle, an act of grace, act of love, a magic moment, something you treasured. Step in that moment now like you're there. And fill yourself up. Fill yourself up with the beauty and the joy of that experience. Fill yourself up with gratitude for that moment. See what you saw, hear what you heard, feel what you felt. Appreciate that. Take it in. When you really feel strong gratitude for that second moment, let's go on now to the third moment. A third moment you could feel so grateful for. But don't just think about it. Step into that experience like you're there. Step into the moment. Step back into your body as if you were there and feel that moment. Feeling so grateful for it. Savor it. Fill yourself up with joy, with the miracle, with the gift of that experience. And just feel the beauty, the grace, the appreciation, the enjoyment, the gratitude for that moment. And now while you're in this beautiful state, with your eyes still closed, feeling these beautiful states, feeling so grateful, now we do step six, and I want you to think now of an experience that was a coincidence. We all love coincidences. A coincidence that really turned into something beautiful in your life. It wasn't something you planned for. It's just something that brought great love or joy or happiness to your life. Maybe it was a chance experience that led to a meeting with a person you now love, or someone who changed or enriched your life in some way. Or maybe it led to a new career choice, or you had this coincidence happen and it brought new opportunities or growth to your life. Again, we all love coincidences because we didn't do them. They happened for us. We didn't do anything to make it happen. Was this a coincidence, or were you guided? I have a core belief that has often pulled me out of pain and negative meanings or suffering. In my soul, I really believe that if we're honest and if we step out of our fear or our pain or our suffering and we look at it from a higher perspective, I really believe in my soul that life is always happening for us, not to us. Even the most painful situations that have happened in our life often cause us to grow, expand, or deepen. I'm sure you have been through some events in your life that you never want to go through again, and that you never want anybody you care about to go through. But if you look back on the situation 5 or 10 years later, often we see the higher purpose in it. We see how that tough situation made us care more, or made us stronger, or made us more driven to help. Even those moments of suffering can be great triggers for growth. So find that moment and take in and be grateful for it as well. Give thanks for the coincidences of our life and be grateful to the universe, to God, to whatever you believe in. And trust in this. You know, the universe is billions of years old and it's always taken care of you as long as you've been alive. You've not lost your way. So finally, as you breathe into your heart and you feel this tremendous gratitude for the guidance, for the surprises, for the coincidences, and for the beauty of your life. Now, in this beautiful, grateful state, in this beautiful state of being, I want you to think of what was bothering you earlier, you know, the unfinished business we talked about, whether it was at work or at home. And all I want you to do is stay in your heart, stay in this beautiful state the whole time. Don't get in your head, stay in your heart, keep touching it, and repeat this phrase and finish it in your heart. All I need to remember about that situation, the one that was bothering you, all I need to focus on, all I need to remember, all I need to believe, all I really need to do is what? And let your heart give you the answer. Don't filter. Your first instinctive heartfelt thoughts are usually the right ones. So stay in that beautiful state, ask that question again. All I need to remember about that situation, all I need to focus on, all I need to believe, all I need to do is what? And your heart knows the answer, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Trust your heart. It knows what to do. Breathe in your heart and give thanks for the answer. Your heart and mind are aligned. They're a powerful force. When unified, they're truly unshakable. As I mentioned earlier, I've guided tens of thousands of people through this meditation. And if you're feeling it right now, you're probably having the same experience. When I'm in a room with 10,000 people doing a seminar, I always ask, raise your hand if you know what to do in that situation that used to stress you out. And then I ask them to open their eyes and look around the room and see how many people have their hands raised. And it's usually more than 95% of the audience. Now, in some cases, the situation requires more intense work. But I figured I'd give you a quick 2-minute simple meditation right now as a simple technique to get around it. So did you come up with some answers on what to do to solve it? Aren't they pretty simple? Your heart knows the answer. But here's the broader point I'm making. You and I have the power to vault ourselves out of suffering states and into beautiful states in less than 2 minutes. How? By focusing on what we appreciate, by being grateful. It's so simple and yet so profound. Appreciation, enjoyment, and love are nothing less than the antidotes to suffering. It's all about shifting your focus away from the illusion of loss or less or never and engaging gratitude, appreciation, love for what you already have in your life. I always tell people, trade your expectations for appreciation and your whole life changes in a moment. A dream of happiness and a vision of hope. Yesterday is but a dream and tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Kalidasa, the 5th century Sanskrit dramatist and poet. Now, I want to be clear here. I'm not saying that you'll never suffer or be stressed again. Obviously, that's not true. You know as well as I do that life is full of extreme circumstances. No matter how smart we are, no matter how rich we are, none of us is immune to health issues or the pain of losing people you love or the myriad of other difficulties that are part of life. I can't control what's going to happen to you or your family in the future. And I can't control what will happen within the financial markets, including the possibility of a crash that lasts longer or is more severe than anyone expects. I wish I could. But I can promise you this. If you make the decision to master your own mind, if you make the decision to live in a beautiful state no matter what, if you live with the decision to no longer suffer no matter what happens, then you'll be mentally equipped to handle whatever challenges come your way and you will have a beautiful life. Now, some people are experts on post-traumatic stress, but I've spent a lifetime focusing on the opposite. The miracle of post-traumatic growth that happens for some people who've been through the most difficult of times. See, I study the resilient people who've been through the worst situations and still end up creating a magnificent life. Let me give you an example. A few years ago, I met an incredible woman named Alice Hertz Sommer, a brilliant pianist born in Czechoslovakia in 1903. During World War II, Alice and her son were deported and sent to a concentration camp. There, she was forced to give piano recitals in the camp, and she was somehow to pretend that she was gladly and happily performing for Nazi captors. Why? Because they were filming this. They were trying to convince Europeans that the Germans were looking out for the Jews. And if she didn't look happy or she didn't perform at the highest level, she was told that they would kill her son in front of her. The extraordinary story of how Alice not only survived the experience, but found a way to thrive with her spirit intact is recounted in her biography entitled A Garden of Eden in Hell. Now, when I first met Alice, she was 108 years old and living in England. She'd endured so much tragedy, yet she was one of the most positive and inspiring people I've ever encountered, full of life and joy. She lived on her own, insisted on taking care of herself at 108. She still played the piano and sang every day. What struck me the most, though, was that literally everything seemed so beautiful to her. How amazing is that? To me, it's the ultimate reminder that even someone who's been through hell can be filled with happiness. There is no relationship to happiness and problems. You can have tons of problems and be happy. You can have everything in your life great and be miserable. I was most deeply moved by her description of her time in the concentration camp. Alice told me that every moment of her life, including those years, has been a gift. Now, when you meet people like this, you never forget them because they possess such an outstanding ability to live in appreciation and awe and gratitude. And despite all their challenges, these people radiate love and joy, and they experience it. And then there are those people you just want to slap in the head because they freaked out when the milk in their cafe latte isn't hot enough. So what are you going to do? Are you going to join me on this quest to experience true and lasting wealth today by training your mind to find joy in every moment? It's your choice whether you live in a suffering state or a beautiful state. It has nothing to do with the environment. It's the one power we have is to choose what our perception is, how we're going to feel, our mindset, our attitude, and our emotions. You have the capability to become the master of enjoyment, to fill your mind with appreciation, to be happy no matter what. Best of all, the joy in you will affect everyone around you. Now, if you're ready to burn the boats and take the island, I recommend that you write a note explaining your decision to live in a beautiful state every day, no matter what, and why you made it. Then send this note to three people you respect and ask them to tell you, of course, gently, if they ever see you slipping into a suffering state. You could say, look, you know, I'm committed to living this state every day. If you see me in a suffering state, gently ask me, do you really want to feel this way or would you like to be in a beautiful state now? You have the power. You can also send me a note. I'd love to read the decision you made and why. You can send it to endsufferingnow@tonyrobbins.com. That's endsufferingnow@tonyrobbins.com. I'd be touched to hear that you've made the decision, why you've made it, and how it's enriched your life. By writing down your decision, you crystallize it, while also committing yourself publicly in a way that'll help you stay on course. Even better, you may inspire the recipients of your note to follow up and make the same decision in their own life to live in a beautiful state. Look, everyone needs a vision. Mine is simple. I'm going to live in a beautiful state every day of my life, and when I get off track, I'll snap myself back immediately. This will not only enable me to have a beautiful life personally, but maybe even more importantly, it'll strengthen me. It'll give me the ability to bring more beauty to the lives of others and all those I love. Look, I hope you'll join me in this mission because let me tell you, living in a beautiful state is the greatest prize. It is the real jackpot. It is the ultimate treasure. And it's rarer and a much greater achievement than becoming a millionaire or a billionaire. If you can learn to ride the roller coaster of life and enjoy both the ups and the downs, then you become utterly unshakable. The secret to living is giving. Now, I started this chapter by talking about real wealth. So as we come to the end of our time together, what is it? How can you truly experience it every day? When I interviewed Sir John Templeton, one of the greatest international investors to become a billionaire, I asked him, what's the secret to wealth? He said, Tony, it's what you teach. I laughed and I said, well, I teach a lot of things. Which thing I teach is the secret to wealth? With a big smile on his face, he replied, gratitude, Tony. You know, we've both met people who have $1 billion and they're miserable, so you and I know they're truly poor. And we both know people who seemingly have nothing, and yet they're grateful for the breath of life, for their health, for their family, for God, for everything. So they're rich beyond compare. In our hearts, we all know it's not money that makes us rich. As I'm sure you found, the greatest treasures are never financial. It's those moments of grace, when we appreciate the perfection and the beauty of it all. It's those moments when we feel something eternal and invincible inside of us, the core of our spirit. It's the loving warmth of our relationships with our family and our friends. It's finding meaningful work. It's the capacity to learn and grow and share and serve. For me, it's always been the joy of helping people to break through their limits and seeing them light up as they remember who they really are and what they're really capable of achieving. It's the delight of seeing their lives become a celebration instead of a battle. It's the magical feeling that somehow I've made a little difference and I've played a role in the awakening of this marvelous, unique human being. It's appreciating that everything I've ever gone through has somehow eventually served not only me, but others, and that even the deepest pain I've experienced has led to something beautiful. In fact, there can be no greater gift than for your life to have meaning beyond yourself. This is the ultimate game changer. Just find something to serve, a cause you can be passionate about that's greater than yourself. Whether it's your family, your friends, or something for your community, this is what's going to make you truly wealthy. Nothing enriches us as much as helping others. You know, people often say they'll give when they're rich. But the truth is, you can start giving even when you have very little. And if you do, it'll transform you today. And by the way, if a person won't give a dime out of a dollar, they're never going to give 100,000 out of a million or 10 million out of 100 million. So start right now with whatever you have, and I can promise you, blessings beyond compare will flow your way. This psychological shift from scarcity to abundance makes you wealthy and brings you a glorious sense of freedom. And making this shift, by giving when you feel you don't have much, you teach your brain that there's more than enough. And remember, it's not just money you can donate. You can also give your time, your talent, your love, your compassion, your heart. My daily prayer is simple: to be a blessing in the lives of every person I have the privilege to meet. If you make the tools and principles in this book a part of your core, you'll be able to receive and give more than you could ever imagine. And as this extraordinary abundance flows to you and from you, you'll feel truly blessed. And you'll become a greater and greater blessing in the lives of others. This is what it feels like to possess real wealth. I want you to know that I'm deeply grateful to you and thankful for the privilege of spending this time with you. I know you're a unique human being because most people don't even pick up a book to improve their life, much less listen to the entire one. If you're hearing my words now, you're one of the few who do versus the many who talk. And I want you to know, I sincerely hope this little audiobook has been helpful to you on your journey to financial freedom and that you'll act on it and experience the blessings that you deserve. Please come back here and listen again whenever you need a reminder of who you really are and all you can truly create in this life. Remember that you're more than the moment. You're more than your economics. You're more than any challenge you may face. You are soul, spirit, essence. You are truly unshakable. And it's been a privilege to serve you. God bless you, and I look for our paths crossing sometime soon.
Appendix: Your Checklist for Success. Fortifying Your Kingdom: How to Protect Your Assets, Build Your Legacy, and Ensure Against the Unknown. Invincibility Lies in the Defense. Sun Tzu: The Art of War. Congratulations on taking this journey with us. I hope you feel more prepared, informed, and fully equipped to achieve financial freedom after listening to this audiobook. As you know now, Unshakable isn't just the title. It's a way of living that can permeate every aspect of your life. Ultimately, it means freedom and peace of mind. Yet the truth is, none of us has absolute control over the future. There are a variety of unknowns that could emerge to prevent you from enjoying the very wealth you've worked so hard to build. What if you are no longer able to work due to an unexpected illness or disability? What if you get slapped with a lawsuit, putting all your hard-earned money in jeopardy? What happens to your money if you're confronted with the harsh realities of divorce? What happens to your wealth and legacy when you inevitably pass away? Remember how we said that losers react and leaders anticipate? Anticipation can be the ultimate power, and these final pages are all about anticipation, both of things that you know will happen and things that you pray will not. I know, it's not the most fun thing to sit down and plan for unlikely events or one's eventual passing. However, there will be tremendous relief and peace of mind once you buckle down and bulletproof your wealth. There's nothing like the unshakable feeling of knowing that you and those you love will never have to worry about any external events disturbing the quality of your lives. Remember Ray Dalio's mantra to expect surprises? This section allows you to do just that. For the same reasons that you diversify your portfolio, the items in this checklist allow you to prepare for all those unknowns that could be lurking around the corner. Plus, you'll discover even more ways to save on taxes. Think of true wealth management as the building of your personal financial kingdom. At the center is your portfolio. but you must fortify all the areas in and around the kingdom to protect your treasure from being destroyed or eroded by unnecessary taxes, costly lawsuits, or government intervention. And ultimately, you want your heirs to get exactly what you wish upon your death, or to be able to leave a legacy of impact and philanthropy to causes of your choice. We'll keep this section as short as possible. This is not even really a chapter. It's designed to be a guide or checklist. In fact, there are four distinct checklists for you to utilize with your attorney and financial advisor. One for health, one for wealth, one for insurance, and one for charitable giving. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Prince, let's go crazy. In 2016, millions of fans around the world mourned the unexpected loss of the icon we came to know as Prince, one of my favorite artists. According to the New York Times, Prince died at 57 years young, without a will. He didn't set up an estate plan or take any necessary steps to protect his estimated $300 million estate. Now, instead of his assets going to his family, they'll be tied up in court for years, and the government is guaranteed more than $120 million, or 40% of his estate, all because he failed to put together a plan. While purple may not be your favorite color, and you might not win 7 Grammys, the lesson is clear. Whether we realize it or not, if we fail to plan, we are planning to fail. So bring this advice to your meeting with your advisors and get your financial world in order. Transferring and protecting your wealth. Hold on. Before you stop listening with one of the many excuses I've heard before, let me just address them straight on. I don't really have that much, so it's not important to set up a will. If it's not important, why do you work? Why do you invest? Why do you budget? Of course this is important. And you've probably put this off because it seems like a hassle. It can be done quickly and inexpensively, and your family deserves to be protected, don't they? I'm young, and this stuff is irrelevant to me. This is relevant to you if you have people you care about, a mother, a father, a grandfather, an aunt or uncle, who have not taken the time to set up protection for themselves and their family. I have a lot of assets, so it's going to be a hassle. If you think it's going to be a hassle to set up your estate plan now, imagine what it will be like for your loved ones if you become incapacitated or die. I'm sorry to be blunt, but I must nudge you here. If you have significant assets, you should begin your estate planning immediately. There is no time to waste. None of us knows how much time we have left. Putting this off can have catastrophic consequences. My personal situation is complicated. If you think your situation is complicated and will involve tough decisions, for instance, children from multiple marriages, 5 ex-spouses, and so on, imagine what it will be like to have your estate go through probate. The probate court, with all the efficiency and effectiveness of a state-run program, will make all of those tough decisions for you without the benefit of your input. I hope you picked up on my sarcasm. I don't even know what probate is, and why should I care? I'll be dead. Probate is the process that a court uses to establish the validity of a will, if there is one, and recognize the executor. If there is no will, the court will appoint an administrator of its choosing to handle the affairs required by probate. Better the devil you know. So let's just admit that the downsides of avoiding the inevitable are more costly than the one-time hassle of meeting with your financial advisor or lawyer. In the 4 checklists that follow, we'll tackle setting up measures to protect you if you fall ill. We'll discuss your estate plan or will. We'll talk about ways to protect your assets while you're alive. And then, finally, we'll talk about creating a legacy of generosity. These lists are designed to be used with your advisor of choice. If you don't have a financial advisor, a tax expert, an insurance specialist, and an attorney in your corner, if you would simply like a second opinion, know that we handle all of these areas as part of our family office services at Creative Planning. If you have any questions or would like our guidance, feel free to reach us at getasecondopinion.com. Checklist 1. I got the power. If I am incapacitated, I really don't care who makes healthcare decisions for me, nor do I care who handles my financial affairs. If a choice has to be made, I think the government is the best choice to do all this for me. Said no one ever. I had a client who at 53, despite seeming to be in perfect health, suddenly became unresponsive. As her family rushed her to the hospital, it was soon determined that she had a brain tumor. She had not set up power of attorney, and thus her husband was unable to access any of her accounts and get her disability benefits activated. She passed away shortly thereafter, never having regained consciousness, and the family soon learned that she had not set up her will, leading her estate to go into probate. The three items on this checklist could have been taken care of with a few simple decisions. This is not complex stuff. Any qualified attorney can quickly handle these core essentials, and these documents would have protected my client's family. Here's what you must do, if nothing else, to protect you and yours. Durable power of attorney for healthcare, healthcare proxy. What if you or your spouse suddenly become incapacitated and are no longer able to make any decisions on your own? Who is going to make medical decisions about your care should this happen? This is something you should think about now while you have, yes, the power. If you have a living spouse, he or she might be your first choice. Make sure to consider the implications of the person you choose. For instance, if you have a lot of life insurance, you might want to give authority to someone who isn't invested in pulling the plug. Okay, I'm kidding, but all joking aside, you need someone you trust inherently who can make the entire range of decisions from whether to remove life support as mentioned, or whether to change doctors, or whether to move you to a different healthcare facility. These decisions literally have life or death consequences. Make a wise decision and get it in writing now. Durable power of attorney for finances. Maybe you trust your family with your healthcare decisions, but know that managing money can be a problem for them. Just like you may need someone to handle healthcare decisions, you will need someone you trust to be able to handle your financial affairs. This can involve paying ordinary bills such as your mortgage, signing legal documents, and even interacting with other entities on your behalf, like the phone company or your health insurance provider. If you become incapacitated without this document in place, your spouse, relatives, or friends may have to go before a judge to get authority to handle your financial affairs. No one wants to have to jump through these hoops in the midst of what is already a difficult situation. Take care of this now so that you know you will be in good hands, and your family members will be spared some stress during an already trying time. A living will, also known as a declaration, a directive to physicians, or a healthcare directive. If you are unwilling to turn over decision-making power regarding your health to anyone, you can set up a living will, which tells the doctors which procedures you would like provided or withheld in the event that you are unable to communicate such wishes yourself. Again, this alleviates stress for your loved ones as your wishes are already stated clearly in writing. Checklist 2. Estate Planning. The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for the birds and bees. Now give me money. That's what I want. Barrett Strong, money. That's what I want. When most people think of estate planning, they usually think of simply drafting a will. But there is much more to estate planning than just who gets what when you die. There are a number of different things you can do today to help decrease your taxable income and increase your tax efficiency. Here are the four core essentials. Setting up a will. Drafting a will is the first step in any estate planning, and there are four key decisions you must make. Who are the beneficiaries? In other words, who gets what? Who will be the guardian for your children if you have any children under the age of 18 when you pass away? If this isn't spelled out in a will, the court gets to determine who will raise your children. Let me say that again. The courts will get to decide who will raise your children. Are you paying attention yet? Sometimes the very people the court might likely choose, your parents or siblings, are not necessarily who you would choose to be guardians of your children. This is an important moment. Think about who in your family or even your close friends you trust to raise your children the way you would want them raised. What would provide your children with the most peace of mind after this tragedy? Talk about this with your spouse, determine who you'd like to choose, and then have the important conversation with them, asking that they be listed as guardians. Who will be the executor of the will? This is the person who will be in charge of making sure that what you request in your will actually happens, and the one dealing with probate if your estate must go through that process. but everyone should avoid probate regardless of how much money he or she has. We'll get into that in a minute. Do you want your assets distributed directly to the recipients or distributed to trusts set up on their behalf? A testamentary trust. For example, let's say a couple has $400,000 in assets that will be split equally between their two children, who are currently ages 19 and 20 when they die. If the parents both pass today, the children will each get a check for $200,000 with no restrictions. What would you have done with $200,000 at age 19 or 20? Instead, the parents could include a provision in their will for a testamentary trust that would allow their children to receive principal and income for their health and education until they are 30, at which point the balance of the trust will be distributed to them. The will would also name a testamentary trustee, a person or company you select to hold the money, invest it, and distribute it in accordance with the terms of your testamentary trust. What is probate, and why should you avoid it at all costs? The main point of probate is to give your creditors time to seek payment of the money you owe them and your executor time to collect money owed to you. Probate involves payment of taxes and debts and the distribution of what is left under court supervision. What are the other downsides of probate? Control of assets. During the probate process, your beneficiaries cannot sell your assets. The executor can only sell assets with the permission of the court. Time. The probate process takes approximately 6 months at a minimum, but it usually lasts at least a year. It can take even longer if matters become complicated by a will contest, where the validity of the will is challenged, business problems, or anything else unusual. Expenses. It's possible for the costs of probate to stretch into the tens of thousands or even the hundreds of thousands for some estates. Privacy. Probate is a matter of public record, which means anyone can have access to your personal financial affairs. For many people, the thought of their most personal information being made public is pretty chilling. You may think that no one will be interested in your affairs. However, some people actually work probate records, looking for people who are going to inherit substantial sums of money in order to find ways to take advantage of them. Trusts. A quick word on trusts. All too often, people assume that trusts are only for the Rockefellers and other one percenters, or something that you set up for your children should you pass away while they are still young. But I believe that trusts should be a centerpiece of estate planning for people with more modest assets as well. They don't need to be expensive or complex to set up. One important responsibility we all have is to make sure that whatever wealth we build, however large or small it may be, our families benefit from it, and it doesn't get stuck in a legal process that drains the gift from our heirs. Trusts are an important tool to do just that. Keep listening to discover how to use them to your benefit. But first, a bit about tax planning. Estate tax planning. As we discussed in Chapter 6 on the Core 4, it's not necessarily about how much money you earn, it's about how much you keep. Tax efficiency is key to your financial freedom while you're alive, but you also have to consider what taxes you will incur upon your passing. For most people, estate taxes are not and will never be a concern. Why? The IRS will allow you to give away up to $5.45 million over your lifetime or at your death without paying any taxes. This is referred to as your lifetime exemption. Think of it as a one-time coupon. Married couples get to combine their lifetime exemption amount, so estate taxes are due only if their combined net worth exceeds $10.9 million. If you're one of the wealthy that has more than $5.45 million to bestow upon your death, you will be paying an estate tax of 40%. Ouch. I hope you'll agree with me that it is worthwhile to discover ways to pass on some of your wealth now, before you pass away, so that you can decrease the amount of your taxable estate. So how can you do this? The IRS allows you to give away $14,000 per year to whomever you choose without counting against this lifetime exemption limit. This is referred to as your annual exclusion. Any amount over $14,000 is taxed at the gift rate of 40%. This means that you could give away $14,000 per person to all of your friends and family every year and still give away $5.45 million when you die, paying no gift or estate taxes on any of it. That can add up to quite a sum, depending on how many friends you actually have. Here are a few strategies for passing along your wealth without handing a huge chunk over to the government. Help pay for your children's or grandchildren's college education expenses and get a tax benefit, too. Most people don't realize that you can use part of your annual gift of $14,000 to fund a 529 college savings plan for your kids or grandchildren. You may even get a state income tax deduction for the gift as well. If the student is already attending college, tuition payments can be made directly to the school. Instead of waiting to pass on your wealth after you die, you can give $14,000 per year tax-free directly to each of your family members. Let's say you have grown kids who are married. You and your spouse can each give your child $14,000 per year for a total of $28,000 annually. You can also each give your son-in-law or daughter-in-law $14,000 per year for another $28,000. That means one married couple can give another married couple $56,000 per year with no gift tax consequences and without reducing your lifetime exemption. They get the benefit today, and you get the joy of sharing with your children while you're still alive. Pay for medical expenses. You can pay for the medical expenses of friends or family members without counting against your annual gifting limit, so long as the payments are made directly to the care provider. So what does this mean? If your grandchild needs an emergency appendectomy, costing $20,000, you can cover those costs and still give that grandchild an additional $14,000 in the same year without paying the 40% gift tax. Charitable giving. Any money you give to charitable organizations does not count toward the estate tax calculation either. Why pay it to the government when you can give it away? That's what the world's wealthiest have done, including Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. We cover this in more depth in Checklist 4. Revocable Living Trust. As you begin to accumulate wealth, please don't wait to set up a living trust. Everyone needs one. Why? Because all assets in the trust avoid the complex state-run proceedings of probate. A revocable living trust is a simple legal arrangement to hold assets, the trust part. Because this trust is put in place during your lifetime, it is a living trust. And because the trust is written to allow you to terminate the arrangement at any time, it's revocable. So even though the name looks confusing, revocable living trust just means a legal arrangement created to hold your assets, which you can end any time you want while you're alive. You will be named as the trustee, or the person in charge of the assets, so you make whatever decisions you want with the assets in the trust. If you become incapacitated or after you pass away, a successor trustee you name will take over the administration of the trust for you, and nothing touches probate. Protect your assets with an irrevocable trust. Some of the wealthiest families in the world have known for centuries what any great asset protection expert will tell you. The secret is to own nothing and control everything. This can be done through an irrevocable trust. It is considered to be a separate legal entity, so the assets inside it are not subject to estate tax when you die. That's right. Your family will keep that 40% rather than see it confiscated by the government. Also, if the trust is established properly, the assets inside can be protected while you are alive from creditors, divorce, legal judgments, and other risks. Thus, its other name, an asset protection trust. So, what are the best ways to use an irrevocable trust to your advantage? Giving annual gifts. As you learned a few pages ago, you are allowed to give an annual gift of $14,000 per person each year tax-free. Rather than giving your annual gifts to your beneficiaries outright, it may make more sense to put that money in an irrevocable trust instead, and that person can be the beneficiary of the trust. This is particularly effective if a beneficiary is young, has difficulty managing money, or if there are extenuating circumstances that lead you to want to establish some benchmarks the person must achieve in order to obtain access to the funds, such as sobriety, attending college, or holding down a full-time job. Holding life insurance. Sheltering life insurance through the use of irrevocable trust has become so common that this type of trust has acquired its own acronym, the ILIT, which stands for Irrevocable Life Insurance Trust. Most people know that the proceeds from a life insurance policy are not subject to income tax. However, it's not as widely known that the proceeds are subject to estate tax, that pesky 40%. However, if the policy is held within an irrevocable trust, you are able to avoid both income tax and estate tax, a double whammy. Here's how it works. You take the $14,000 annual gift, $14,000 per kid, per grandkid if you want to contribute more, and use it to fund life insurance within an irrevocable trust, which allows your children or grandchildren to receive the life insurance payout